Thank you. Hello, this is Teresa Allen, and this is the Pacifica Archives Task Force meeting, and it is Thursday, June 18th of 2015, and we are ready to start our meeting. And Janice Lane, you were to has expressed a willingness and an interest in serving as secretary, is not on the call. She's asked for an excused absence. And if I do not have a volunteer to take the minutes tonight, I will do it myself. Do we have anyone willing to take minutes? Okay. I will do it myself. It's not a problem. I am sending out the draft agenda, again, to the people that I know that are on this call right now, and I will read the agenda for you before we begin, and then we will start the meeting. The agenda is... call to order and roll call, elect officers, approve the agenda, approve the minutes. Okay, all right. Then I will put him down for an excused absence, and we will certainly consider that when we discuss our next meeting. Lamont Yakey? Is Lamont on the call? I do not hear that. Serene Roberts?
Present.
Thank you. Brian DeShazer?
Here.
Thank you, Brian. Teresa Allen is present. Jim Boyd?
Here.
Thank you. William Heerwagon?
Here. You know something? I'm looking at KPFTX. And for I said I'm looking at the committee list on KPFTX, and for some reason he's not there. I thought he was earlier in the year, but he's not now. But he is still... interested in working. I mean, I don't know what happened.
I will also talk to Otis McClay about William Heerwagon. He was on the call in April, but he wasn't on the call in May. So, Serene, can you confirm with him that he wants to be on the task force?
Right. I'm saying he's absent today because he didn't get the notice, but I'll forward it. Maybe he can even join us tonight. I don't know.
Okay. Fine. Okay. And I have no idea why he's not on that list. I'm sorry, so sorry, everyone. Okay, is there anyone else on the call whose name I did not call? Okay, we had scheduled an election of officers for tonight's meeting, and we had discussed this at the last meeting, and I had sent it out with the minutes. Now, there are people here who claim they did not get the minutes. So I guess the question is,
Adriana?
Yes.
Information. It's not people that claim. Is anybody? You said that you sent it to Janice. Is anybody in this call that received the minutes?
Not
today.
I'm sorry. Adriana asked the question. Did anybody respond to that?
This is Serene. I did not get the minutes. When did you send them to Janice, Teresa?
Just a minute here. Well, I think I received them and I saw them. She sent me a copy of them. And I sent them to her on May 19th and asked her to, because I think that at one, maybe at the last meeting she was not available or something. I said, look at these, do what you need with them, and send them out. And then the previous month's minutes, I think she did them, and I don't know when they were officially submitted.
Serene to the staff.
Okay, go ahead, Serene.
Since someone on the call seems to have gotten the minutes other than you, I think we should just postpone them.
Okay. It's been moved that we postpone approval of the minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, thank you. Pardon me one minute. I'm going back. I'm trying to get back to my agenda. Okay.
And Teresa, can you send it to all of us if you receive it from her? Can you send that to all of us?
That's what I'm going. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you the minutes tonight. I know they're. I'm trying to conduct the meeting right now, but before this evening is over, I'm going to send you a version of the minutes. Okay, whatever version I have, and then by the next meeting we will be ready to do that. Okay. 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 Now, the first item on the agenda after roll call was election of officers. So I guess the question is, do we want to have election of officers if you have not received the minutes and if you have not received the agenda for the meeting? Do you want to try electing officers, or do you want to postpone that also?
I have a point of order, I think.
Go ahead.
I don't think we finished with the attendance. When you called William, I mentioned that I didn't see his name.
Yes.
On the KPFTX list, I don't know if you...
He was the last person that I had on my list.
I see.
And
okay, thanks.
I'm sorry?
Okay, thank you.
That's okay, no problem. Is there anyone else that anyone thinks should be in addition to this committee? I'm going to go back to the list. I'm going to make a notation.
Adriana?
We'll go back to the KPFTX list and review to make sure that there's no one else that's dropped through the cracks. Okay? And we'll discuss adding Keir Wagon and Adriana Kasanave. All right, go ahead, Adriana.
I'm in the list of Pacifica Radio Archives.
All right.
Yes. I'm sorry. I meant archives. Okay.
Good.
Okay. Sorry for the confusion. All right. The question is, the next item on the agenda is election of officers, and because you did not receive the agenda or the minutes, do we want to postpone electing officers?
Yeah, I move to postpone it till at least all the members that signed for are here. And we receive it, obviously, the agenda on time.
Okay. To next meeting. Okay, is there any objection? Okay, this is passed without objection. Okay.
Yeah, hello, William Hairwagon joining the call.
Welcome, Hairwagon.
Hello, I didn't get any notice that I recall.
I do not know why you're not on the list. You were on meetings before, so I'm going to, I just mentioned that I'm going to take that up with Otis McClay. I do not know how your name was removed from the list.
Okay. Thank you.
Sorry for any confusion. So, we are now on approving the agenda. The agenda, as I've read it to you, is there anything else that you want to add or delete from the agenda? Oh, pardon me. Let me say this. Since we're not having meeting tonight, I'm offering to convene the next meeting. Is there any objection to that?
No.
Just fine.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm offering to convene the next meeting, so I'm going to take responsibility to make sure these things get, this information gets out this time, rather than the secretary.
I'm not clear what you mean by convening. I'd like us to vote on a date that works for everyone. Well, most people.
Yes, well, we'll discuss that in a few minutes. But I'm just saying, since we don't have, we are not electing officers tonight, is it okay if I continue to act as chair pro tem?
Fine the thing?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
We need someone to lead the meeting, and since we don't have officers, a convener is the one to do that.
Okay. And when it comes to the agenda, your chair is going to move that we postpone approval of the minutes. Any objection? No objection. And we'll send out immediately. Okay. So the next item is there anything that anyone wants added or deleted from the agenda? Hearing none, the amended agenda approved without objection. Okay, the next item on the agenda is a report from Brian DeShazer, and I had said Mark Torres on there. And somehow I had missed that he was not going to be on the call tonight. So go ahead, Brian DeShazer.
Hi, thanks. All right, so I guess I'll try to keep it short, but shoot, I always say that. So I wanted to update you that, you know, I did present at the Pacifica National Board meeting this past weekend because it was in Los Angeles, and it was a fairly successful presentation, well-received by everybody as far as I could tell. Of course, the two pieces of business that we were talking about that is the official business is the National Board motion for the archives to reduce expenses by $9,000 a month or raise funds to help bridge the gap. So we reported on that and asked for that motion to go back to Finance Committee because we have a new budget actual report that is more positive than previously expected that included the archives reducing expenses in all areas except staffing, and we raise money in revenue and outside sources other than the on-air fundraisers. The good news with that is that we are working with John Profit. I just had a talk with him today and with individual stations for alternative ways to raise the money to get us to the end of the year and beyond. Including like web special broadcasts web special podcasts, and I don't have my notes with me, and I'm a little hungry, and I forgot the other two points, but they were good ones. But the point was that we're working with the stations individually to try to find alternative ways to help raise those funds, that's that part, the Pacifica National Board presentation. Part of that presentation alluded to that we were going to receive a letter from the Radio Preservation Task Force of the Library of Congress to be a formal partner with the Radio Preservation Task Force, which doesn't cost the organization any money, but works to have the 125 academic researchers help us write grants and find grants for the further preservation and digitization of our collection. The invitation to February Research Caucus in Washington, D.C., that should be covered by scholarships or some funding from them, but it isn't in the bag yet, would be the important part to work with those researchers to find the grants that would help supplement the expense and costs of the digitization and preservation and access project. And so we received that letter today and spoke with John Profit. And since there's no money involved, it's not a board decision, but an executive management decision. So John and I decided to, and I announced this at the board meeting to all the board of directors that we were going to accept the invitation. But didn't have the letter to present just as a full form of confirmation, I guess. but will in the coming days share that with the board and you at the task force. But it's an all positive, and you know, being that Pacifica is part of that project means that we will receive the benefits of all their dutiful work. So that's that part of it. The next thing is a big event that's coming up that you all can help us with. And then the last point I'll talk about after this is the campus campaign. And then I think I can close and not go into too many bazillion details about all the great work we're doing. I just lost my point. The campus campaign was that, and then this one, the event. So July 10th, which is less than a month away, the Archives is going to be front and center at a free concert that is funded by grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and Los Angeles City Funds under Grand Performances. And what this is the 50th anniversary of the Watts Uprising in Los Angeles in 1965. KPFK at that time was the only independent non-commercial, listener-sponsored media outlet in all of Los Angeles. In other words, predating PBS and NPR kind of reportage. So we have very unique coverage of the Watts Uprising. So the Grand Performances has pulled together a hip-hop rap creative artist group. Anthony Marshall of Lyricist Lounge, which is a hip-hop group out of New York City that has MTV presence, and DJ Lego, who I don't know, you have to look him up, I don't know who he is, he's somebody famous. But they will be taking our audio, which is KPFK coverage of the event, and so we're sort of saying it's not just KPFK, but it's Pacifica Radio, so we're sort of working with them on the verbiage of the promotional materials. But Pacifica Radio's coverage of the Watts Uprising is already on the Grand Performances website. So I think it's called, actually, I think the website is grandperformances.org/Watts, or just go to the events calendar, July 10th. So the Archives will be, and this is a new audience of about 3,000 people that go to the free concerts. But the way that we'll be making money in the fundraising benefits is that we will be tabling and selling CDs of the original full coverage of the events by Pacifica and maybe one other premium of Civil Rights and Black Power, being that it's that political activist thematics. We don't want to throw everything at the audience at the table, and we'll be promoting KPFK as well. And we'll also have one of those gobo projectors that literally projects our logo and KPFK's logo on a 15-story building in downtown Los Angeles. So that's pretty exciting. There's also a moderated panel before the concert, which I'll tell you exactly what the concert will be in a second. So the moderated panel, fortunately or unfortunately, whatever, because of KPFK's transition, the moderated panel about KPFK's coverage of the events 50 years ago is going to be hosted by KPCC, the other non-commercial radio station in Los Angeles, because there was just no there when the decisions had to be made. So right now we've met with Grand Performances as the Archives representing the event to make sure at least one KPFK programmer is part of that moderated panel. The other good news about that I think only a few of you may know, but Joanne Griffith, who was the Archives correspondent who used to do a show on the BBC Radio 5 Live and also authored our book with City Lights called Redefining Black Power in the... I even forgot the damn title that I published the book with. Can you believe that? I wrote the front forward and I can't remember the name. Reflections on the State of Black America. That's the rest of the title. Anyway, Joanne authored that, and she's the organizer of the moderated panel because she works with KPCC now. So that's actually good news for us. It's positive that, our girl is part of the panel that can help us, fully promote the relevance of KPFK's coverage 50 years ago and also the Archives' relevance of preserving the materials for them to be possible. So that's the panel thing. And then the concert thing is these two musicians are using the original audio and then mixing them with new music or sample music. And Mark Torres, who's, you know, the master senior producer in the archives who does that kind of work anyway, working with audio from the archives, he has been, I won't say like nominated, proposed to the creative team to be part of the mixers. So the idea is that there'll be three songs or three tracks of the events, and they'll be played, pre-produced, and then they'll be played on stage while there's a film of the news coverage, like the video news coverage of the Watts uprising and the still images that have been preserved through other places. And then so I'll stay within the concert performance thing. So we have VIP seats that we could offer as a premium to KPFK locally. We're going to be recording the event for either a live broadcast or a post-event broadcast on KPFK. We'll work with KPFK if they even want to do that. We're not sure. But from the vault and the archives, we'll be recording it and producing a national broadcast using the original materials and the new songs and interviews with the musicians who are doing the work and working with the archival material. I said I was going to be short, and I'm not being short about this because it's so exciting, and there's a lot of details. We plan to have, you know, premiums for our donors for the reception and VIP seats. We'll be tabling, selling stuff. We'll have our gobo on the building. I've invited Cornel West to do the welcome to make sure that he does the pitch for the archives as the nonprofit, you know, recipient of, you know, their goodwill and red bucket collections or something. Mm-hmm. And then after the concert is over, the creative group will come together and will, if they think the material is good enough where they want to release it as a published work, creative work of music, then there'll be a licensing agreement that will negotiate for royalties or licensing of the audio. So that's where another chunk of promotional revenue will be coming in. So here's the part where I think you all can help me with promoting the event. Is that like all that I said there? That's all that exciting part? we'll be getting all the information in the press release together in the coming days. So I'm waiting for Leanne at Grand Performances to write up the formal agreement so everybody knows where we stand and who's responsible for what. We'll get all the artwork and the promotional materials together, and I'll give you a tool to sort of shoot out, email, brag about, or whatever. But in the meantime, the Grand Performances link to the event is all that we have right at the moment. We don't even have it posted on our Twitter account yet. That's because we just had the meeting the day before yesterday. So that's the news of the Grand Performances. I'll stop for a second and take questions or comments, and then I'll move on to the campus campaign final point.
I want to ask one question before the questions. Did everyone receive a copy of the agenda for this evening? I sent it out. Is there anybody at your computers that you can say whether you got it or not?
I think I can, but I just need a minute to go do it and hope
okay.
I don't hang up on you.
I just wondered if it got there.
I received it.
Okay, that's encouraging.
I received it, Teresa.
Okay, good. So sorry.
So I stopped for questions and comments about the Grand Performances Watch thing.
Okay.
And nobody has any. Okay, cool. All right, so I'll just
wait a minute.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Teresa.
Tell me one more time. Because I don't have a report from you, Brian, and what you're saying is quite complex, if you really expect what you just asked us to do to be an action item, I would like you to tell me again what you want them to do.
All right, so I would be delivering promotional materials to the task force to enable them to promote it in any way they see fit. Okay. Either at the local stations, if you know of a programmer that would like to do an interview.
Okay.
We're going to talk about hip hop in the new age, interviewing cool people.
Okay.
All good.
Okay. So Brian is going to send, you're going to send an email to us, and you just ask us to distribute that, right?
Right, exactly. And I'll do the best. I'll do it in a way that I hope is just a copy and paste and email to your friends and family or post or show people. I'll do it as low impact as possible.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Brian?
Okay. Who said something?
Brian, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, Serene.
So in addition to having CDs available, are you going to have T-shirts available?
You know what? We just talked about that today in our staff meeting. We ran out of T-shirts. We don't have any made, but I thought that if there was any two items we could do were the T-shirts to help them promote us, and that we would all be wearing the T-shirts. But that would be the other item that isn't too confusing with thematics. And I am sensitive to the fact that it's about a Watts uprising, and we don't want to put completely innocuous materials of, I can't even come up with an example that doesn't sound offensive, but you know what I mean. You know, white folk music is not the place to set. That's not the place for that.
No, you know what would be great? You have this Panther piece. As we talked, Black Panther chronology that you do with UC Berkeley.
Yeah.
And it's
that
like,
was the one. Yep, that was the one item. It was the Black Power collection, which includes all the Black Panther chronology and the Watts uprising materials from Los Angeles. And then, you know, if there's that small collection of Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King, Defining Black Power, that sort of takes the nonviolent protests part of it and the Black Power part of it and puts them together, then it'd be like three items is enough. Because we realize that there's going to be 3,000 people, a small table, and literally a window of like 10 minutes before, 10 minutes at intermission, and 5 minutes afterwards to, like, get money. So we want to make it easy peasy. Nobody has any choices to make. It's either the T-shirt and the CD or nothing. Get them in, get them out. So thanks for listening. And I don't know, Serene, if you know Anthony Marshall and Lyricist Lounge, but I know they're New York-based, and we're pretty darn excited about
them. I've heard of Lyricist Lounge. I have not, but, you know, I'm not necessarily the most connected to everything, but, yeah.
Understood. Well, thanks, everybody. So the next thing was sort of following up on what we talked about last month in the campus campaign and the educators promotion and, like, how to get connected with professors. So what has changed or what has been updated since the last report is that the website on Pacifica Archives now has all the materials and all the ways for educators anywhere to read an introduction letter and get a sense of what it is that is being offered to them, how much it'll cost, how to use it, how to register to get a free copy. So here's the deal. So teachers can go online and put in their name, address, and their email and what school they teach at and what courses they teach, and they can select a free CD, 10-hour CD of any of the five subjects that we've created as their gift to consider our collection for their classroom. So they get a freebie. What we get is the contact information to further promote and develop.
May I ask you a question, Brian? I hate to interrupt, but I was on the website today looking for it. And it doesn't say anything like teachers, campus campaign.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, it's hidden right now, and we're working on that actually tomorrow. But sometimes put the link on the front page. So after PacificRadioArchives.org, do /campus campaign, and that'll pull up the page that you saw at the PMB presentation. So really, it's like it's there, and there's a hot link within the letter that we email out. That can get you there, but we have to put the front page link so everybody knows what it is.
Yeah.
So,
if I don't go to the page without that link, then I can't find it. It is hidden.
Right, right. So we'll correct that or upgrade it tomorrow.
Okay.
And
right.
That'll be part of the send out. But so it has an introduction letter, and again, it's civil rights, U.S. history that were created by Lamont Ege and Jose Maldonado and have been used in classrooms already. Civil rights, U.S. history, women's studies that have been helped selected by women professors of gender studies and communications, LGBT studies, and Latin American studies. So they're all written out so people can read what's in them. And then once they choose their free CD of those five subjects, they can order the accompanying CDs at $10 each. So that's sort of a Kickstarter of the program. So what we're doing now is we're like finding any and all emails and any and all contacts that have a way to put them on a listserv and do it in a group blast to educators. Like, for instance, Dr. Bonnie Morris at George Washington University has been working with us on the Women's Project, like hosted a From the Vault special, and she really did and is writing the book about the history of women's music. So we're very connected. And as part of her quote, her day of service to the archives, she's making sure that our campus campaign is put on the feminist teachers' listserv group thingy. So she's helping promote the campus campaign to her colleagues. So that's sort of what we want to do. Or, sort of like, you tell a friend, and that friend tells a friend, and the old shampoo commercial.
Well, I sent you a list of four people to send it to, and I think that if you have not mailed out that letter yet, right?
I've only mailed the letter out to like my internal contacts that know who I am already, and who we've already contacted prior to sending it out, saying like, "Hey, we're going to send you this thing. Can you help us?" But I haven't started cold emailing yet, which I would intend to do. But what's your question on that? I wanted to wait until we got the links up and all everything's announced and proper before we did
well,
that.
Well, if we have that letter, I don't know whether you should send it to the PNB or whether you should send it to the LSB chairs and say send it to all of the LSB members so they can send it out. I mean, I know that George Ryder, for example, was willing to send it to some of his colleagues at the University of Houston, but
great.
He did not have the letter yet.
Okay.
So, does the task force members have any suggestions? Should we have Brian send that to the PNB members or to the LSB chairs or just to the generic email addresses for the LSBs? Like, I mean, KPFT is, lsb@kpft.org, and every member will get it. What do you think? What do people think?
I think you just send it to all the LSB members.
Okay.
I asked you to add me especially because I don't receive the kpft.org mails.
You're not receiving lsb@kpft.org?
No.
I'm sorry. You broke up.
Yeah,
I thought what you said.
Yeah, I don't. Everybody's aware. Everybody's aware already, okay?
Okay. All right. Well, I'm so sorry, Adriana. So, Brian?
Yes.
I would like you to send this out to all the LSBs. Serene, do all of the LSBs have just a generic email address like we have? lsb@kpft.org. We'll send it out to hopefully all of the LSB members. Do we have something similar at all of the stations or not?
I don't believe so. I can get Brian all the addresses of each chair.
the addresses of all the chairs of the boards? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'll get that to Brian.
Okay. All right.
All right, that sounds good.
Notation of that.
Thank you so much.
Send.
And it's a great note of the kind of moral support that we all need in our lives. Lewis Hill's son, who is a teacher of literature, professor of literature at the University of Montana, I emailed him and he already responded and is thrilled to help promote it at the University of Montana and all the departments. And of course, you know, he was seriously heartwarmed, if that's even a word, by his father's legacy being extended beyond the radio stations and into the future, into the universities and education. Because remember, Pacifica, you know, started as an educational and is still an educational institution. So, hooray for that. That made me feel darn good that we're on the right path somehow. It was a good omen.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful. I think there are challenges in certain areas, in certain states. I think that right now in Texas, for example, our institutions are very conservative. And if you, for example, Tony Diaz has started Libro Traficante because various states are actually cutting back on, you know, Latin American studies or LGBT studies or women's studies or black studies. So I don't know whether that would some states might actually find that intimidating, or some institutions might find it intimidating to have materials that are maybe not so traditional at this time.
Right.
We're going to give
right.
it our best shot.
Right. That's why we sort of went to the mat with finding as diverse testimonials to include in the introduction letter and in each of the readers. We had our principal from Mumford High School. We have Howard Zinn himself. We have Claiborne Carson, Charles L. Bloxon from Temple University, and we have Dolores Huerta herself, supporting the campus campaign. And of course, that doesn't solve all the problems, but there's a good point to that, Teresa, in that so maybe what we can do, even with KPFT, is create Pacifica University and do special broadcasts, maybe an online thing to where we actually do the right thing in education using our materials, and if the schools don't want it, Pacifica sure can broadcast it.
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yes. To clarify a little bit, we chose Tony Diaz and the Libro Traficante was an action taken against the public school officials in Tucson, Arizona, that suspended the Mexican American studies. That wasn't related to Texas. Okay? In Texas, we don't have that yet.
Texas, I just was speaking with a professor recently. Mm-hmm. And he was speaking about a local community college that actually there is some, adjunct professors are hunkering down. And it's a real challenge at this time for them to try anything new, because I think there is political pressure.
Challenge to their job.
Just pressure. Anyway, anything else?
Right, is there but understood.
One thing you might do is for the Pacifica Archives show, you might play one of them and mention that this is one of the speeches that is available that some professors are using in history classes through the Pacifica Archives.
Right. We're planning that in a couple weeks, Teresa, actually. We're going to do a sampler of each of them and then get an we actually have recorded testimonies. All the testimonials were transcribed from audio. So we have Dolores Huerta's voice saying, I support the campus campaign. It's so important. Our young children, yada, yada. So we were going to put together a promotional show and just send it out there and, you know, call out for all teachers. And we are on the last From the Vault episode for Gay Pride of 40 affiliate stations broadcast the show. And on a regular basis, about 24 affiliates broadcast it. So we're hoping that in those small cities, there'll be a teacher that will hear the broadcast and, you know, start the game. So thank you for that, Teresa. It's a great thought. We're doing it. We're on it.
I still think that calling it a campus campaign is a little bit confusing, because when I think campus campaign, I think if I pledge $150, the library at a
right.
university or any library is going to get a copy that I designate. To me, calling it campus campaign without saying professors are using this as part of their curriculum and you can and your local college can do this too is still somewhat confusing. People need to know what campus campaign means.
All right, so one, I'm so happy that the campus campaign was branded in your brain, so much so that it's disturbing.
Yes, it
when we have something to, so I think that's a success, that we branded the campus campaign so well.
yes.
But I'm with you. We started to think about, a special URL address. And, again, that sort of distinction between the two, because we didn't want to lose the campus campaign pitch when we go do it for the libraries. So we were thinking about Pacifica University as the title. So we were still brainstorming, but we wanted to just get the dang thing up and running. But we can change that title pretty quickly.
Well, I think we just need to say...
I think we overused it, really. Oh,
I just think we need to say... This speech is one of several, or is one of a collection that are available to professors to use in curriculums in the fields of civil rights, U.S. history, women's studies, LGBT studies, and Latin American studies. And I think you need to use the word curriculum so people know that these professors, can contact the archives and can use it in their curriculum.
All right.
That's just my suggestion. Does anybody else have any questions for Brian? Okay. We have.
Oh, I'm sorry, Brian. A suggestion. In those 60-second pieces with the American woman history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Similar to that. Might be useful if you can give a spot to get them prepared and have that Howard Pinn piece, have that Dolores Huerta piece.
Got it.
Yeah, you know, and just give the website, whether it's the one you have now or makehistorylive.org. You don't have to pay me for the use of that. I just made it
that
up.
That sounds good.
you know, but something like that. And have those spots running on an ongoing basis, driving... We do PSAs for everybody else. Everybody can't do it for
us. Right. You know, and as Lamont said last meeting, just emailing teachers is not going to necessarily get all that we want. It is going to require some follow-up, actually calling people. But canvassing in this way with audio promos plus the From the Vault and utilizing the resources of the stations is brilliant, and we definitely will do that. And I hadn't actually thought it through until you said it, Serene, so thank you.
And just one more thing. That I saw that you now have the John Coltrane, the animated piece at the front when you hit the website. And I
think
every station has, they have a slide that, flash for different events across their home pages. That should be one of them for all our stations. I mean, you can gently...
Well, I agree. I emailed the jams and they didn't want to have nothing to do with it, I suppose.
Okay.
I'll make it a specific suggestion.
Okay,
and
cool.
See where it rolls.
Yeah, I mean, prepare.
Yeah, I think so too. I think it should be totally promoted all over the place.
It's so gorgeous. I mean, I've looked at it several times. It's so wonderful.
And you know what's even cooler is that I can't remember her first name, but their Alice and John's daughter, Maggie LaPica KPFK, was friends with the family, and that's why we interviewed Alice Coltrane before she died. And she actually gave us rights to use some of the music in the documentary that we created. And Alice Coltrane's daughter, you know, saw the piece and was moved to tears by it because we focused on the positive parts of what he wanted to do rather than the, you know, he was an addict and he died and, you know, the same old tragic jazz story. So, you know, it made me feel good that we did good.
Very good. Wonderful. So Brian DeShazer is going to ask the GMs to promote the people listening to the John Coltrane video on the PacificaRadioArchive.org website. Is that what you're saying?
No, it's always, yeah, I think I understand what Serene says, just to promote the whole Pacifica is now an animated form should be on each website, each station's website, so we'll find a way for them to do that, whether it's in the Flash thing or something. We'll push that again to say members of the task force suggest that each station use this to promote the fabulous work of Pacifica. It's a good positive way to do it.
Yep.
We don't want to wring their arms, for God's sake.
Pardon me, I'm still not quite sure what you're going to specifically ask the GMs to do. Are we supposed to do something, or are you supposed to do something?
I think I'm going to do something, which is to send the general managers the link to the John Coltrane video.
Okay.
And then, you know, politely suggest that it would be beneficial to all the stations to post it on their website to promote the broadcast legacy. So here's the I'm not going to announce this. It's not ready to announce. Never mind, I take it back.
To promote the archives legacy?
Pacifica on the whole. Like Pacifica covered jazz music or something. I don't know. We can make it work.
Okay. All right. I hope, Brian, that you have my phone number and will call me immediately after this meeting so I can make sure we're on the same page and send these minutes out immediately so it doesn't get on the back burner.
Okay.
Feel free to call me after this meeting.
It is 6:38. Brian has been at work all day. I think a day or two is fine. I can't call anybody.
Yeah,
I don't have all day. I don't have that much time. Because I'm going out of town.
I respectfully suggest that you do your best and send the draft minutes to the committee, the task force. Anybody else can fill in the stuff that you didn't understand. I don't think we need to extend the man's work day.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is the discussion of the relationship between the archives and sister stations when fundraising. And I believe this came up in our last meeting. It came up kind of at the last minute. And I just put it on the agenda, leaving it open. It sounds like, Brian, you have had a good, healthy discussion with the ED, and he's asked the stations to work with you towards some of the fundraising goals that are more immediate. But does anybody have any other suggestions at this point or concerns? Wow.
that was good.
Okay. I'll say the ED is encouraging collaboration.
Yeah.
And we should all look for these opportunities for collaboration. All task force members are asked to do that. Okay.
good deal.
Okay. Okay, the next item on the agenda before we adjourn is to confirm the next meeting. So, does anyone have any suggestions?
This is Serena. I thought we'd been meeting the second, was it the second Tuesday, people? Oh, no, it couldn't be the second Tuesday. It must have been the third Tuesday or something.
Well, I think it was Adriana that didn't want to meet this Tuesday, and so we moved it to Thursday, but that's not a good day for Mark Torres.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Tuesday, which is the third Tuesday, July 21st, already on the calendar. Why did we have an agenda item?
All right.
You are boasted, Teresa.
Okay, but I just wanted to confirm this because we changed it this month. When we went to do this, when we went to confirm the date this month, we changed it. So I want to make sure that everybody's back on the same page for next month.
My recollection is different. My recollection is that you changed it for some reason to a Thursday, and a number of people protested the change of date and the change of time. But at any rate, it is now set for at least a couple of months based on what I just saw. So I think we're probably done.
Okay, well, we did meet on Tuesday, the 19th of May, and we met on Tuesday of April. And Tuesday, the 17th of March. So we've met three Tuesdays.
It's posted July 21st.
July 21st, August 18th, and September 15th. We have meetings posted for the next 3 months on the third Tuesday.
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to confirm that everything is okay, because we were meeting on Tuesdays. It was changed this month because Adriana Casaneve in the last meeting didn't want Tuesday the 16th. So we're back on Tuesdays.
Right, because we were all coming out of a 4-day meeting.
Exactly.
Okay, fine. Okay, so the 21st. Anybody have anything else, Stern?
Don't forget to send the minutes, please.
I will try to get the minutes out today, and I would.
No, I mean the one that you said that Janice sent you.
Yes. I will try to get that out, hopefully within the next hour, because I do not want it postponed anymore. Okay. Alrighty. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Night.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care now.
We're adjourned. Good night.
Bye, Brian. Go ahead.